Good evening, everyone. It's been a little while for me since I've shared anything at the chapel. I was kind of thinking back, and the last time I'm pretty sure I was on my laptop on Zoom speaking at an evening meeting. So I'm a little nervous to be up here, to be honest, but I just want to start by just opening up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word and just to gather together as an assembly. And I just pray that the thoughts that I'm going to share tonight, as simple as they might be, just that they've been an encouragement to me and that they might be an encouragement to someone here as well tonight. And just pray that you would guide me in what I say and that anything that's said in error, that it would be erased from memory, Lord, and just that your spirit would work tonight. In your name, amen. So tonight I just wanted to share just a little simple thought I've been having lately. I was kind of been reading through through the Bible in 1 year. I've been doing a chronological reading plan. So what I've kind of been liking is, as I was reading recently through 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and the stories of David, as you read kind of a chapter in his life, I've been kind of reading then the psalm that was written during that time, which that's kind of unique about David as opposed to other people throughout the Bible, is that you kind of have an insight into their thoughts, which is really neat, I find, because it really humanizes him and it makes him very easy to relate to, I find. So just kind of to kind of set the scene here, I'm going to be reading from 1 Samuel 21, but just kind of, it's very familiar. The story of David altogether is very familiar, I think, at least to myself, but then this one's kind of not one that you think about very often. So kind of setting the scene before this, we know that many of us remember that David was anointed. He was going to be the next king after Saul. He was anointed by God through the prophet Samuel. And then shortly thereafter, he kills Goliath, and this earns him a lot of favor with the people, which then makes Saul resentful of David, and then he is persecuting him and tries to kill him. And then David ends up fleeing from Saul with the help of his wife and Jonathan, who is his friend and Saul's son. So then that brings us into 1 Samuel 21. I just want to read 6 verses here, starting in verse 10. It says, "Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, 'Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, 'Look, you see that the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? See, have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?'" So you might think, Garrett, what are you going to share from this story? This is kind of funny, but it was after reading this and then reading kind of the Psalms that go along with it. It's just so neat to me how just such a small section, there's two full Psalms that are written by David during this time, which really just speak for God's provision for us in times of difficulty, which I really enjoyed and was encouraged by. So this is just kind of, like I said, in the middle of the story of David. It's just a brief little episode in his life. From here, he goes on to, he does escape from Gath after that story, as we see. He later hides in caves and strongholds, continuing to hide from Saul. He has two opportunities to kill Saul, but he ultimately spares him, and then Saul finally dies in battle, and David is crowned king. So in light of the story of David, this is not a passage we think about very often, or at least I think about. So just kind of to set the scene here, we see that David is in the city called Gath, which is a Philistine city. It was the city that Goliath himself was from, and the Philistines were kind of constant enemies with Israel throughout this time. And we see that they recognize that as David, as someone who's killed 10,000s of their people. So David is afraid, and he ends up pretending to be insane, and then he's allowed to leave. So it's kind of, from here, I just wanted to go to Psalm 34, which is the first of two psalms I want to look at briefly tonight. Really, in large part, I kind of just want to let these speak for themselves. I don't have too much I want to say on them, just to let the Word of God speak for itself and just kind of to share the encouragement I had with it. So the psalm was written just shortly after their time, it seems, based on the title. I'm going to read the psalm in its entirety. And it says, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked on him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. So my Bible has a title on this psalm that says, The Happiness of Those Who Trust in God. And it's just a reminder to us that God hears the prayers of those who love him and who actively call on him. And I emphasize the word actively because you can see kind of throughout this several verses in here. For example, in verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So we see that he delivers us from fear, but we have to first seek him. Similarly, in verse 6, it says he saves us from trouble if we first cry out to him. Verse 8 says he shows us goodness if we first trust in him. Verse 9 says he meets our needs if we first fear him. So there's kind of that similar thought throughout, which is just a reminder that it's important for us to actively be seeking the Lord in our lives and to be committing both in times of difficulty and good times, just to be committing ourselves to him in prayer, which is a reminder for me. I know it can be so much more difficult for me to be praying regularly like I should than just to be in the Word. Similarly, just kind of in verse, down to verse 10, it says, those who seek the Lord shall not lack anything. And we know just from our own lives that just by virtue of being Christians, we don't have everything that we want. It's not a matter of just praying and God giving us exactly what we ask for, but it's praying in his will. And we know this to be true even just looking at the author of this psalm, because God didn't deliver David from Gath, and he didn't go straight to the throne. He didn't become king and live in a palace immediately, but he flees from there and has yet another problem. He continues to flee from Saul, and he hides in caves. And throughout all of this, it just reminds us that God knows our deepest needs, many of which are not what they seem. It's not maybe the little inconvenience that come up day to day, but just a deeper spiritual need that we have, and just a reminder to be satisfied knowing that he's enough in these times, not necessarily waiting on. We see that David doesn't wait to be delivered before he praises God and thanks him for his deliverance, but in the midst of these situations, he thanks him for his provision. Moving on, just kind of down to verses 17 and 18 also stood out to me, where it says, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. So just again, where while he may, in some circumstances, when we commit these situations to the Lord, he'll help us to escape these frustrations or failures or sorrow or whatever what we may be experiencing. But sometimes instead, he just gives us the strength and the comfort and the wisdom that we need to endure those situations in the midst of difficulty. So I just, again, appreciated this story just because while it's maybe not the most heroic story in light of David's entire life, it's just a great account of God's deliverance and the joy that comes from trusting our lives to him. And then I kind of want to move from here just to Psalm 56, which is another psalm written about the same time in David's life, but kind of from a different perspective. and I want to read it in its entirety as well. It says, starting in the title and then in verse 1, to the chief musician set to the silent dove in distant lands, a Mitchum of David, when the Philistines captured him in Gath. So 56 verse 1, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words, and all their thoughts against me are for evil. They gather together, they hide, they mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape my iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings and put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Kind of as opposed to the other one, which is titled The Happiness of Those Who Trust in God, my Bible has on this one, Prayer for Relief from Tormentors. And you can sense definitely the difference in tone looking at the same situation compared to Psalm 34. It's kind of, you wonder maybe just kind of based on the title, it seems like maybe this one was written while he was still in Gath, whereas the other one was after he was delivered from there. And it just is a reminder that God cares for us in these times of darkness and fear. It's definitely less hopeful or it is hopeful, but there's just a more somber tone to it where it says in verse 4, what can flesh do to me? We think of the pain and the suffering and even death that comes just by virtue of being in the world. But we know that our souls are most importantly secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it reminds us, you have kind of Matthew 10, verse 28, which says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Just remembering that, it was a reminder to me that in our deepest times of need, Christians are often faced with the decision to either walk away from the Lord or to have their faith really strengthened through that time of difficulty. Kind of made me think of, as well, I just remember Sam, Tim Watley's I'm not sure which one, but on Sunday when he was sharing about them having lost their son, and he said something to the effect of, who else would we turn to in these times to rely on in times of difficulty? In verse 8, we're just reminded that God cares so deeply about the details of our lives, including each of our struggles. It says, you number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. And then just the last thing that really stood out to me in this chapter is the idea of our trust in the Lord as being a vow. David says in writing this psalm, starting in verse 11, it says, in God I have put my trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I just thought this was a really interesting perspective. I read a little blurb in one of William MacDonald's commentaries. It said, the present assurance of future deliverance puts David under constraint to fulfill the vows he made to the Lord and to pay his debt of gratitude to him. Though still in enemy territory, he is enjoying the blessing of full salvation. His life has been saved and his feet kept from stumbling so that he might continue to walk in the presence of God in the light of life. So whereas in Psalm 50, here in Psalm 56, we see David's vow to trust in God through this time of fear and oppression. We see that promise carried out then in Psalm 34, which we read before, where David fulfills that vow and then he praises God for his deliverance from this situation. And then just similarly, the idea of being in enemy territory is similar to just us being here on earth, being where our citizenship is in heaven. We're here for a short time. When we've put our faith in the Lord, he's saved our souls, so ultimately we can trust him with each of the daily needs that we would have. So just that's really, for the most part, all that I wanted to say. I just really appreciated, again, just kind of being able to read just even a simple little story that you might not give a second glance to reading through 1 Samuel, but then just hearing how God worked in the heart of David through this time was really encouraging to me, and it just reminded me of kind of, if I had three little takeaways from this, it would be to be, for myself, just to be patient, that whenever I'm committing something to the Lord in prayer, I don't have to wait for the answer to that situation. It can be just feeling his presence in the midst of that situation and just trusting that he will eventually deliver me from that situation, even if it's not, even if we have to wait for that. And just also, I want to be more mindful of how I pray. I just know it can be so easy, even if you hear of someone who's sick, your instinct is to pray that they'd be healed, but just really just being mindful of praying that God's will would be done and that that would be my will as well for to seek his will in my life and in those around me. And then finally, it was just a comfort to me reading in these stories, just being reminded that God is with us and that he ultimately has overcome the world. So that's all I had to share tonight, and hope you could be a little encouragement to each of us here. Thank you.